Praise the Lord, everybody. I wouldn't want to do it without God. I can't do it without him. I know what it's like. I know what I'm like without him. And I don't ever want to be without him again. It is not good. It is not pretty. And it's not fun. I'm so thankful for him. I'm so thankful for him. I don't know where I would be without him. And I'm so thankful for him. I'm so thankful for him always being there. And I'm so thankful that I can trust him. You can be seated. You know, we had we went by the other day and the Lord's been speaking to me about this for a while now. And he just, you know, I wake up and, you know, I have something on my mind, and then I'll go through my day and then it'll pop in, and, you know, then somebody else will speak to me and it's, or say something to me, and it's what, you know, the Lord is already telling me. And it's so neat when he gives us confirmations like that. And if we're not looking for him, we won't see him. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we're so busy going about our day. We've prayed and asked the Lord, God, I need an answer. I need you to answer me. I need it right now. And it's like, if we're not paying attention, we'll miss it. Because I'm going to tell you something. When you call him, he answers you. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and he delivered me from all of my troubles. That is the kind of God that we serve. I don't know what it is that you need here tonight, but if you call out to him, I promise you, he will hear you. He's heard me more times than I can count, and he delivered me. And if he delivered me, he can deliver you. I know it. I know he can. He is faithful. He is faithful, and you can trust him. I'm so thankful I do not have to live this life without him. I'm so thankful that I can trust him. And I don't know if they have it up, but the title of of what I'm speaking today is 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus. It's so sweet. There's a song and it talks about I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I. I keep falling in love with him. I love him so much. It is so sweet that we can trust him. And if you're here today and you've been baptized in his name and you have the Holy Ghost, or you might be seeking for the Holy Ghost, you can trust him. You can trust him. So my title is simply this: 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. So what does it mean when we trust someone? Think about it. When you hear the word trust and you're like, okay, I can trust them, or can they trust me? Or, you know, what does that mean to you? So trust or trustworthy means deserving of confidence and being dependable. It refers to someone or something that is reliable, honest, and can be counted on to act with integrity. So who comes to your mind when I just read that? Hopefully all of us in here have someone, a person, a real person, that we know that can apply. This can apply to them. Hopefully we can. If you don't, I'm sorry. But hopefully we do. It's a wonderful thing to be able to trust someone. But there is someone that you can trust. There is someone who will never fail you. He will never forsake you. He will never leave you. And his name is Jesus. He is so good to us. The Bible says, "For I know the plans that I have for you," declares the Lord. I know the plans I have for you, Caleb. That's what he's saying. In his word, he says, "I know the plans that I have for you," saith the Lord. It's plans for you to prosper and not for harm. Not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope. That is an amazing promise. He says, "I know the plans that I have for every single person that can hear what I'm saying right now." He has plans for you to prosper. He has plans for you to not harm you, but to give you hope, to give you life and life more abundantly. Where else can you go? Where else can you turn that you can get that kind of help? There's nowhere you can go. You're in the right place tonight. You're in the right place, because you know what? That promise is not just for me. That promise is for every one of us if we will take a hold of it. When the road ahead, it feels uncertain and unclear. You got to remind yourself that God has a grand design for your life. And we all go through it. We all go through it. We all go through uncertainties. You know, I remember when I used to not live for God, and, you know, we would find hope in the weirdest things. I'd like, oh, yeah, well, God, you know, whatever. And, you know, I got hope in this and hope in that. And I look back now, and I'm like, that was a false hope. It was false. If I'd have died right then or something bad would have happened, it would have been bad. It was a false hope. But we as humans, we like to hope in things. But one thing that you can hope on, one thing you can trust in is God. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. So when the road ahead feels uncertain and unclear, you remind yourself that God has a grand design for your life. And his intentions are always rooted in love and in purpose. What he wants for us is always what is best for us. Always. We can trust him. We hear people say, oh, yeah, just trust in God. Have you ever heard that? Just trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. And I don't know about y'all, but when people used to tell me that, I'm like, I don't even know what that means. I mean, I don't even know who this guy is, and I'm supposed to trust him? Or some of us might be, you know, every guy, man, or every person I've ever trusted in has let me down. How am I supposed to trust in something I can't even see? I don't know if y'all thought those things before, maybe before you came to God, or maybe you are thinking it now. You know, maybe you are, but you can trust the Lord. So sometimes we hear that and we're like, I don't know. I don't know if I can do that. But if we can grasp this and we can walk with him and we can walk with him and we can trust him, our life will be so much smoother. Who wants a smooth life? I want a smooth life, okay? You can have bad things happen to you because that's life. Life, bad things happen. It doesn't matter. The Bible says he rains on the just and the unjust. So he's going to rain on you whether you live for God or whether you don't. But at least when we live for God, we have a hope. At least when we live for God, we have a protection. We have so much more to hold on to when we live for God. Why would we want to do anything else? Don't believe the lie of the enemy that tells you that you can make it without him or it's not that good in here, because I promise you it is so bad out there. Don't listen to the enemy. You take into captivity those thoughts. You cast them down because this is the best life that you will ever have. There is no God like our God. There's no life like our life. There's no hope like the hope that we have. There's no joy and peace like the peace that God gives us. Never believe the lie of the enemy. Never believe it. It's not true. It's not true. If you're hearing anything else, if you're feeling something that's trying to pull you out from these doors, know right now it's the enemy. And the plans he has for you are to destroy you. They're not to prosper you. They're to kill, steal, and destroy everything in your life. That's the plans he has for you. But the plans that my God has for us, there's no God like our God. Thank you, Jesus. So, number one, we don't need to lean on our own understanding. Do you know that? As humans, we like to figure things out. I don't know if you are like that, but I like to figure it out, Sister Michelle. I like to be like, okay, I can do this and I can do that and I can kind of finagle. Is that a right? That's the right word. Okay, I can do that and I can like try to get it here and I can get it to work out for me. I can get it to work out. And I try to do all that stuff and guess what? It doesn't work out. A lot of times it does not work out because I'm leaning on my own understanding. But the Bible tells us, it tells us to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts. What does that mean? It means that whenever something comes your way and it hurts your heart or it scares you or it makes you uncomfortable, you trust the Lord. God, I don't understand what's going on. I don't understand why this is happening to me, but I trust you, God, because you've never failed me. You have me here for a reason. I know that you know the plans that you have for me, and although this is hard and I don't like going through it, I know I can trust you because your word says for me to lean not on my own understanding, but in all my ways acknowledge you, and you're going to direct my paths. You're going to lead me. You're going to guide me if I don't lean upon my own understanding and that I don't try to work it out on my own. God, I'm going to lean on you, Jesus. When things come to me and they're hard, I'm going to run to you. I'm going to run to you, Jesus, because you are my shelter. You are the one God that keeps me. Lord, you are my anchor. You hold me. You're the strong tower. You're the one that hides me under the rock. God, I thank you. You know, I thank you, Jesus, for your protection. There's no protection like the protection Jesus gives. You don't have enough money to pay for the protection that God gives you. Did you know that? President Trump doesn't have as good of protection as we have from God. We have, there's no protection like God. We can pray for peace and we can rest in the knowledge when things are going haywire in our lives that we don't have to figure it all out. God is already one step ahead of us. Give it to him. Whatever it is tonight, whatever you're struggling with, whatever you can't figure out, maybe you're trying to overcome something and you're having a hard time overcoming it. I've been there. I know. Don't quit. Just give it to him. Lay it down at the altar. Lay it down at the altar. My father-in-law told me one time before he was my father-in-law, he said, you know, Sister Denise, you know the difference between two Christians that started living for God and one of them still does and one of them still doesn't? That one that still does just kept getting back up. He said, get back up. And that's what I'm telling you tonight. I don't know what you're struggling with, but whatever it is, you get back up, get yourself to the house of the Lord. Don't believe the lies of the enemy. It's a lie. He wants to destroy you. Keep getting back up. Get back into the house of the Lord. Cling to his promises. The promises found in Scripture are anchors in hard times. It is so important for us to know the Word of God. The Bible says to hide the word in our hearts that we might not sin against him. But it also, I know it's good for us to hide the word of God in our hearts because when doubts creep in, when the enemy lies to us, we can quote that scripture and it shuts the enemy up. You know, when Jesus was up in the mountain and Satan, he came up there and he wanted to tempt him. Every time the Lord would say, it is written. It is written. So when he comes to me, you know, and when doubts creep in and you know, and I'm like, goodness, what, Lord, I don't know. I don't know what's gonna happen. And I've been there, even living for God. I'm like, how are you going to get me through this? How are you going to work this out? This is impossible. It's impossible. You can't do it. But the scripture says, because the enemy will tell you that, there's no way he can work it out. There's no way. Nobody's dealing with it like you're dealing with it. Nobody's done the stuff you've done, and now you're asking God to do this for you. And nobody has the situation just exactly like you have it. I don't know if he tells you this. He tells me this. But let me tell you something. God took all of that into account before he wrote his book, okay? He knows. He knows that we are flesh. He knows how easy it is for us to get off track. And guess what? It does not change his word. It does not change his promises. In Romans 8:28, it says, and we know that God works all things. And this is what I tell him. This is what I tell the enemy when he's coming at me. Oh, I don't know if God can work it out. I'm like, you know what? Wait just a minute. I do. I get mad after it's been a few days, Brent. I get mad. I'm like, you wait just a minute. And I started talking to it. I said, God works all things for the good. For the good to them that love the Lord. And I love God. And I don't know how he's going to work it out, but he's going to work it out. You know why I know this? Number one, his word says it. But number two, he's always done it. He's always worked it out. Every single time. He's never failed me, never, not once. He's gonna work it out. You can cling to his promises. His word is powerful. It is so powerful. We can use it to overcome anything the enemy throws in our way. We have the tools that we need. It's in his book. It's in his book. You got the Bible? That's the word of God. That's his book. It's an instruction manual for anything and everything that we need. Well, he doesn't, you know, the enemy tells us, you know, they don't have a situation like yours. You know what? We have an instruction manual, and it works. How many of you has the instruction manual worked for in one area of your life? Okay, how many of us have every single situation that's different with different components? So it doesn't matter what your components are. It doesn't matter what your situation is. It still works. It does not matter. Don't believe the lie of the enemy. That Lord is able. He is able and he will. He will work all things for the good to them that love him. I'm thankful for that. Thank you, Jesus. Another way that we can trust God is to pray about everything. Worry can consume our minds. I've been there, I know. But prayer, coming to church, we have keys, okay? When we're worried, when we're anxious, when we can't hardly lift up our heads, we have keys that can help us. And one of them is prayer. Another one is coming to church, and another one is fasting. And I just want to say right now, if you're not fasting, everybody pretty much, unless you're on medication, can fast one day a week. If you can't feel God and you're having a hard time, I want to encourage you to at least fast one day a week. You can do that. I'm telling you what, I used to pray. I'm like, God, I can't feel you. What is going on? I can't feel you. Why can't I feel you? God, I'm in here. I'm all whatever I'm doing. I'm blubbering. I'm crying. I'm screaming. I can't feel you. And he spoke to me one day. He's like, Denise, when's the last time you fasted? And I'm like, no, I'm praying 3 hours. Not really, but I'm praying. That's surely just not that one thing. He's like, try it. Do it. Do one day a week. And don't miss a week. Don't miss a week. See, God works through consistency. Our problem is we want it right now. That's what our problem is. But the thing is, God works through covenants. He works through consistency. So if something is not working out for you, keep doing it. Keep doing it. If praying one day a week's not working, or praying 1 hour a day, pray an hour and a half a day. And then if you're not fasting, start fasting. I'm going to tell you what, when I started fasting, something changed. Something changed. I could feel God. I would walk in and I'm like, oh God. You see, he never moved. It was me that moved. He never changes. It's us that change. And when he started telling me those things and I started listening to him, I did those things and I can feel him. Coming to church, the enemy will tell you it's not important, but let me tell you something. It's so important, or he wouldn't be telling you it wasn't, because when we get together with a group of believers, there is strength that we get from each other, whether or not we even touch each other or not. Just because we're worshiping God, we're lifting up his name, we're praising him, something changes in the atmosphere. And in a minute, you'll feel peace come in. In a minute, you'll feel joy. Oh, in a minute, you'll feel a refreshing. Never underestimate coming to church. Don't ever let the enemy keep you out of church. Come to church, no matter what, unless you're running fever and have to go to the hospital, throwing up. Maybe you don't want to come into the sanctuary. I mean, we could pray for you. But you know what I'm saying? Don't miss it for frivolous things. It's not worth it. We get so much strength from each other. Oh, I'm so thankful for the church. The Bible says, it says, be anxious for nothing. That means don't worry. Don't worry. But in everything, by prayer and supplication or petition to God, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So that's what we need to do. We don't need to worry. And you're like, okay, Sister McCoy, Sister Denise, how am I supposed to not worry? Well, when it comes in, you tell it to leave. We have authority of all those things are under our feet. We don't realize how powerful that we are when we have the Holy Ghost. You have no clue. The Bible says he's given us power over principalities, over authorities. Everything is under, all sickness and disease is under our feet. You just got to speak to it. I'm serious. I speak to it sometimes and I'm like, look, I told you what I did. I'm like, we are not going to be putting up with a bunch of this. You're going to go. Because if you don't go, guess what? I'm going to go get up and go pray. I told it that one night. I'm like, if you don't want to leave, okay, well, you're going to come into the living room with me. We're going to go pray. Guess what? It left. It really did. It left. You talk to it because the Bible says there's spirits. There are spirits that torment us. And I know people don't like to, but that doesn't matter what you like. What matters is what the Bible says. That's what matters. And these things, they try to torment us. The spirit of fear, the spirit of infirmity, the spirit of intimidation, the spirit of addiction. There's so many. These are spirits that try to torment us. And we have authority over it. And the enemy just wants to make sure that we don't realize that we have authority over it. And so many of us don't realize. But I'm going to tell you right now, I'm tired of it. I am tired of him beating up my family. I'm tired of him beating up my church family. I'm going to come after him if he comes to me. I'm not going to go pick in a fight. But if he comes to me, I'm going to say, okay, you know what? This is how I fight my battles. God, you are worthy. God, you are able. There is nothing my God cannot do. He is able to do exceeding abundantly more than what I can ask or think. I praise you for the victory. I praise you because you are good. I praise you because you are worthy. There is no God like you. Oh, Lord, I magnify you. Never will a rock cry out in my place. I magnify you, Jesus. You are worthy. You are righteous. You are holy. Oh, you are my God. You are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And you keep doing that long enough. I'm going to tell you right now, something's going to change. Something is going to change inside of you. We have what we need to be victorious. We praise from a place of victory. We don't praise for the victory. We already have the victory. The enemy just wants to try to make us think we don't. We need to get mad at him. I'm tired of him. I'm tired of him messing with my family. I'm tired of him messing with my church family. I'm tired of him stealing from me. We have authority over all of that. We have the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. He has given us every tool that we need to overcome anything that comes to us. But a lot of times we don't take advantage of them because we don't realize that we have them. And this is the reason we want it done right then. We want it. We're an instant generation. We are a microwave generation, right? Sometimes you got to press through. Sometimes you're going to have to fast a few days. Sometimes you're going to have to pray. A lot of times you're going to have to pray every day. Don't miss a day. Even if you don't feel it, pray. Just pray, God, I don't feel you right now, but I know you're able. I love you. Get a list. Write it down. Pray your list. I don't care. Just keep being consistent. And when you're consistent, watch what God does. He will not fail you. He will not let you down. It's consistency, consistency, consistency. Be consistent. Practice a thankful heart. The most thankful people are the most happy people. Okay, some people say, oh no, they're thankful because they're happy. No, they're happy because they're thankful. We live in a generation that are thankful. They're thankless. They don't say thank you. My mama, I'm going to tell you what, we said thank you, okay? She didn't mess around. We came from the South. I better say yes, ma'am. I better say yes, sir. Or vice, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir. If I didn't, I was going to get a spanking, okay? That's how it was. And she raised me to be very thankful. And I try to raise my children like that, but we as a church body, we need to be thankful for all the things that God has done for us. And sometimes he uses people to do things for us. And we need to be thankful to each other. Thank you for everything you've done for me. Thank you for doing that for me. Thank you for whatever. We've all done stuff for each other. Make sure that you are thankful. Go to them and tell them, I thank you for it. Thankful people are happy people. It's not the other way around. Happy people are not thankful. They're not happy because they're not thankful because they're happy. They're happy because they're thankful. Okay. In 1 Thessalonians 5, I have dyslexia sometimes, y'all. I'm serious. This is not a lie. And some days it's worse than others. Some days I can read. I'm like, oh, my goodness, I am so smart. And I'm like, I got this. And then some days I will get up and I will twist the words. And that's what just happened. So bear with me. Okay. So 1 Thessalonians 5:15 through 18, it says, see that none render evil for evil unto any man. So he's talking to us. We don't give people evil for evil. If someone does something bad to us, we don't do something bad to them. The Bible tells us not to, for more reasons than one. And first of all, it makes us feel horrible. And the other reason, we reap what we sow. You know, we do. And we're not supposed to render evil for evil, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks. In every good thing that happens to you and in every bad thing that happens to you. We are supposed to give thanks. Guess what? Because he's working it. He's working it for our good. It all goes together. It all goes together. Give thanks. I get in a car wreck, God, thank you for it. I know that sounds crazy, right? I get a ticket. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, God knows what he's protecting us from. We don't know. We are his children. He's protecting you, though. So in everything, give thanks. Give thanks. Thankfulness ushers in hope and puts our focus back on God's faithfulness. Even when life's unfair, and life is unfair to us all. Okay, it is. It's life. Life's not fair. I wanted it to be fair. I try to make it fair all the time. Oh, okay. I want to do this, and I want it to be just perfect. Life's not fair. Bad things are going to happen to you. That's just life. That's life. But offer thanks for the blessings that you can see. You'll discover that dwelling on the thankfulness of God shifts your perspective, and it reminds you that every good gift, however small, is a reflection of his unfailing kindness to you. Lord, I thank you for my air condition. Who's thankful for air condition? That's a good thing, right? The Bible says every good and perfect gift cometh from above, down from the Father of lights, whom there is no shadow, neither variableness or turning. I might be getting that wrong, but air condition's a good thing, right? Our car is a good thing. We don't have to walk, right? Hot water in your bathtub is a wonderful thing. A nice bed to sleep. We've got so many things to be thankful for. We have so many things to be thankful for. When you're feeling down, when you're feeling defeated, start thanking him. God, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that I know who you are. I thank you that I am not where I used to be. I thank you that you reached way down for me, God, and you pulled me up, God. I thank you that you brought me from glory to glory. I thank you for my husband. And I thank you for my children. I thank you for this precious church, God. I thank you for good health. I thank you for green trees. I thank you, God. You're so good to me, Jesus. You are so good to me. I thank you, Lord. I love you, Jesus. I thank you. We have so much to be thankful for. But the enemy is a master at getting us to look at all the things that we do not have, and getting us focused on them, and getting us in a bad mood, and making us mad, and getting us agitated. That's what he does. But if we could step back when all those things are happening and be like, wait a minute. Oh, God, thank you for saving me. I thank you, God, that I'm not dead in a ditch somewhere, because I could have very well been. I thank you, God, that you have given me a life and life more abundantly, God. I thank you, Lord, for you're so much for us to be thankful for. Start thanking him. Even when life's unfair, thank him. Bible says in Philippians 4:6-7, and I read it a little bit before, but I'm going to read the whole thing. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And then the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. God, I don't know how I can have peace in this situation, but I have it. Because of you shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. That is what keeps me. It's the peace of God. I remember when I first came to church and I came in and I could feel it. And I hadn't got the Holy Ghost yet, but I could feel it. I could feel it. And I'm like, I have never felt anything like this before, ever. And I got addicted to it. I'm like, I got to feel that. Like, I got to feel that. And I kept coming back because I had tried everything to feel that peace. And then when I got the Holy Ghost, oh, my goodness, there was nothing like it. It is peace like a river. It is peace that flows through when you don't even know. You can be going through the most horrible trial of your life, and you can still have peace from the Lord. He is able, and he does that for you. He does that for me. We have relief from our trials. Another way that we can trust in God is surround ourselves with people that encourage us. And I want to talk about this for a second. I want you to think about your friends. I want you to think about the people that you're around. I do not want to be around someone that is negative Nelly all the time. I'd rather optimistic Ollie, okay? I'd rather, what's another one? Happy Denise. I know that doesn't work. I want to be around people that bring life. The Bible says, it talks about life and death and for us to choose life. And I want them to be speaking life unto me, because let me tell you something. Those words can hurt you. When I'm around negative people, it drags me down. I don't want to be dragged down. I want to be happy. I want to be positive. So take an account of people that drag you down. You have to put up with that. And maybe you're the one that drags down. Ask the Lord to help you. He will help you. We're not meant to be like that. We're meant to look at things that are just and think on things that are pure and lovely and of a good report and on virtue and on praise. Those are the things that we're supposed to think on. If you're having a hard time thinking on those, start writing them down. You have them. And anytime a negative thought comes into your mind, look at those things, all these things that you have that are just and pure and lovely and of a good report and on virtue and praise. We've got everything we need. We just need to use it. So surround yourself with encouragers. Trusting God becomes easier when you have a support team that loves the Lord. Look for mentors or godly friends that speak life into your struggles. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 10, it says, two are better than one, for if one falls, his companion can lift him up. Strong spiritual friends often help us to have a deeper faith in God. We all need them. The Bible talks about iron sharpeneth iron. I know I can get around my Aunt Bertha. I don't know if y'all have ever met her, but man, after I leave her, I'm like, I feel like I am 10 foot tall and bulletproof. I feel like that I can take anything on that the devil throws my way. We need those kind of friends. Don't let someone speak negative stuff into your life. Don't let anybody talk bad. Let me tell you, do not let anybody talk bad to you about someone else. Do you know that's a spirit? It's a spirit. It's gossip. And it tears down people, and the enemy will be using you to tear somebody else down. I don't want that on my hands. I want my lips and the words of my mouth to edify and lift up and never tear down anything or anyone. So if you're struggling with that, because sometimes we do struggle, you need to ask the Lord to deliver you of that. It is a horrible thing, and we need to get as far away from talking bad about people as we can. We are the church of God. We need to lift each other up. We need to encourage each other. We need to speak kindly of someone. Yeah, maybe what you're saying is true, but that doesn't matter. Find something good to say. Find something uplifting to say. Never let anything bad come out of your mouth about another person. Surround yourself with encouragers. And then we need to remember the past faithfulnesses of God. All of us can think of a time, every single one of us. Doesn't matter if you've been living for God for 5 years or 50 years. We can think back to a time when we called out for God and he came and he helped us. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. And that's why I trust him. If you're here today and you prayed a simple prayer, God, I need you to help me. You weren't living for him, because that's the way it was one night for me. I was laying on the floor. I couldn't go to sleep. I couldn't sleep for days. And I remember laying there and I'm like, God, I don't even know if you can hear me. But if you can, I need you. I do not want to live like this. I'm tired of it. I hate it. I hate it. I can't stop. And I'm not telling you that it happened right away, because it didn't, but he heard me right away, Brother Caleb, and he started moving. He started moving immediately when I cried. I know he did. I know he heard me, because I'm standing here today. I know that he heard me. When everything seems scary or uncertain, take a deep breath and pause and recall the times that God has carried you through before, because he has carried all of us through, a lot of us more times than we can count. More times. The psalmist declares, bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his kind benefits. Remembering the things he's done for you in the past can give you confidence and remind you that God has not let you down and he will not start now. I've told myself more than once, if he's done it before, God, you're going to do it again. And he always does. He never fails me, even when I thought he did. There was times I thought he failed, but I look back now and I can tell he never failed me. He has never failed me, and he never will. I'm thankful. Lamentations 3:22, it says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail us not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness unto me, O God. Great is thy faithfulness, Jesus. You are faithful to me, Jesus. You are faithful to my family. I don't deserve your faithfulness, God, but you are faithful anyway. Cast your cares on him. Some trials seem overwhelming. I get it. but you don't have to carry them alone. The Bible, it tells us in Peter 5, it says, cast all your cares or your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Lay down every weight before him. This simple act of surrender. God, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to do it, but I give it to you. I don't know if you've ever been there, but I have. I've tried everything. I came to the end of the road, and there was nothing left I could do. And there was death coming. And I'm like, God, I surrender. That's what he wants from us. He just wants us to surrender every part of our life to him. And guess what? He swooped in like he did so many times before. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered me again. He's done it so many times that I know he's going to do it again. I know he's going to do it for you because he's done it for me so many times. Cast your anxiety, cast your cares on him. It's so wonderful that we don't have to work everything out on our own. And if you've not always lived for God, you feel like, you know how it is to try to work everything out on your own. Okay, I got to figure this out, and I got to figure that out, and I got to make sure this is okay over there, and I got to make sure that. And now you know what I do, Sister Long? This is what I do. When something's all upsetting me and I'm all discombobulated, I'm like, okay, Lord, I need your help, and I need you to fix it. Please help me. That's what I say. And guess what? Here he comes. Here he comes. That's what he does. That's what he does for his children. We have this available to us. Do we need to persist in prayer? Absolutely. Do we need to pray in the Holy Ghost? Yes, we do. We get our strength from that. But we can simply go before him and say, God, I need your help. I don't know how to fix it. I don't know how to work it out, but I know that you know. You have every answer to every problem. You have everything that I need. You can work it out. I know you can. There is nothing that you can do. You are able to do exceeding abundantly more than what I can ask or my brain can even think you can do. I thank you for it, God. I thank you for working it out for me, Jesus. I praise you, God. I worship you. And then all we have to do sometimes is be still and know that he is God. And this is really, if you know me, very hard for me. I do not like to be still. My poor husband, he's trying to go to sleep at night. I'm moving. I'm over here. He's like, oh my, when are you going to stop moving? I'm like, well, I thought I was comfortable. And I'm moving again. And my girls, it's funny, they don't like to sleep if we go out of town in the same bed that I do. Because apparently, you know, him, he'll take the covers and he'll just turn over. You know, me, they say I flop around like a fish. And it's true because I've woke myself up doing it before. I just can't stop moving, okay? But this is the thing. I got to remind myself. And he tells me this. Be still, Denise. Be still. Be still. It's tempting to hurry or try to work things out on our own when things are, they're not going good. Yet Psalms 46:10, it tells us, be still and know that I am God. Silence the noise of doubt. Silence all of the junk going on in your head. Be still. Plead the blood of Jesus over your mind and command it to be still and trust that his sovereignty works best in hearts that wait on him. And last is look to eternal hope. Even when our circumstances look hopeless, and a lot of times we've gone through that. Even as children of God, we get in circumstances and we think they're hopeless. You try to focus on what the Lord is trying to do through the situation and have faith that he's going to work it out. Just remember Ephesians 3:20, it says, now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly. It's more than abundantly. It's exceeding that. It's exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or even think. Think about the way you want your life. Think about the way you want your children. Think about it. The Bible says that he is able to do exceeding abundantly more than that. We can't even think of the things that he wants to do through us or our families or our church. We can't even, but that is the God that we serve. He is able to do exceeding abundantly more than what we can ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. In his resurrection points to the ultimate victory over every trial or heartbreak. We know in the end that we win. We know that we do. We know, knowing the end of the story, it gives us hope that no matter what comes my way, okay, you know what? I don't want to die. I don't want this to happen. But if I do, I'm just going to be closer to God. Trusting God does not mean, and I tell my family this all the time, it doesn't mean that everything's going to go the way you think it's going to go. But it means that if it doesn't go the way that you think it should go, you still trust him. He's got it, and he's going to take care of it. Our circumstances mean nothing to him. God is able. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are. He is able to move. So knowing the end of the story and knowing that we win, it gives us hope. Practicing this confidence will help us walk forward. Trusting that God's plan is good and that every promise made will be fulfilled in his perfect timing. He's not coming back for a wimpy, rundown, defeated, weak church, okay? The Bible says he has not given us the spirit of fear, but power, love, and of a sound mind, which is a trained mind. That means that all of our minds in here are going to be trained for strength. We are trained to overcome because of the way that our mind thinks. He's coming back for a strong, victorious people. He is coming back for that. And this is the last, and I'm closing. We went to see Brother Long yesterday, Brother Huey Long. And he's so sweet. You know, he breaks out in a song all the time. And the Lord had been speaking to me, and then he starts singing, and he was speaking to me once again. And so I told my husband the song had been on my heart all day, and I asked him if he wouldn't mind singing it as we close, so if we could all please stand. It's an old hymnal, and I really do love this song. And if we could put the words up. And I'm going to let my husband sing, and I might join in maybe.